ध्यायामोदवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यावृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम् शङ्करादिगुरुं प्रणम्य आरभते अनुशासनं लभते मोक्षं यस्य मतिः रमते निर्गुणब्रह्मणि अहं सदा ब्रह्मैव एतदनुसन्धानम् अपरोक्षानुभव सन्धायकम् अचिरा So we are learning Naishkarmya Siddhi. So where we learn till the sixth shloka. So then the sixth shloka, Sureshwaracharya said, Na kyati labha pujartam, granto asmadirudhiryate, swabhoda parishuddhyartam, brahmavit nikasha, nikasha ashmasu. So I have written this work, swabhoda parishuddhyartam, in order to correct myself, in order to judge myself, Not Khyati Labha Pooja Artham. So Khyati Labha Pooja, not for any other benefit. No other benefit is expected out of it. So even as gold is tested with a hard rock or a stone. So in the same way, I have written this work. This work, which is kind of gold, is to be tested by Brahmajnanis. So Brahmajnanis have to test this work. So till now, like, it is just as to why this work is being written, what is the purpose of this work and all. In a way, purpose hasn't come yet. So now Sureshwaracharya mentions everything as a sangraha. Sangraha means like as a summary. So summarizing, and this shloka is kind of like very important. Most of the objections that are raised against avidya, Avidya, we find that Ramanujacharya has attacked Avidya, Sapta Vidhanupapatti. Avidya also has been the target for Madhvacharya as well. So we find that lot of Acharyas, like most of the Acharyas, are attacking Avidya and Advaita Vedanta as well because of lack of knowledge of like what this shloka says. Or we can in a way say, put it Sachidanandendra Saraswati's words, it is improper understanding. So improper understanding which leads them to doubt or like raise objections. So here it is very clearly mentioned. So Sureshwaracharya says, Anartham anartha hetu. So anartham anartha hetu purushartha tad hetu prakaranartha sangraha jnapanaya upanyasaha. So upanyasaha means like in a way like kind of starting. Or the explanation, in a way we can say. So explanation, sangraha nyapanaya. So sangraha nyapanaya. Nyapanaya means what? Nyapanaya means in order to know. And sangraha, what sangraha? Artha sangraha. Grasping some objects like or things. What artha? Prakarana artha. Prakarana artha. Whatever is mentioned in this prakarana, their sangraha, in order to understand, there is... This shloka is started, and what are the vishaya, prakarana artham, what is mentioned in this prakarana? Anartha like means anartha, what is anartha? And anartha hetu, what is the cause of anartha? And then purushartha, what is purushartha? And tad hetu. So there is, like beautifully Sureshwaracharya mentions four. So anartha hetu, purushartha hetu. So it's kind of like very interesting to see that anartha and purushartha. So anartha, purushartha. So anartha is that which leads to dukkha and purushartha is that which leads to purusha or ananda. So anartha is something which is not at all there. That is why it leads to dukkha. So sorrow cannot be the result of that which exists. Anything that exists will not give sorrow. Anything that which appears as existing will give sorrow. So from an empirical viewpoint, we find that there is a there is a pond in front of us. The pond doesn't give us sorrow. Why? Because the pond is there right in front of us. But the water in desert, like that appears to be there, that gives us dukkha. Why? Because it appears to be there, it's not really there. So that which exists will not give. So anartha means that which doesn't exist, that which has no existence at all. And that dukkha, what is the cause of this dukkha? Anartha hetu. And then there is purushartha as well. And purushartha's hetu, what is the hetu? What is the reason or the cause of the purushartha? That is what is being mentioned here. So here, like, we can in a way say purushartha hetu is mentioned in the next shloka, the 8th shloka. The rest three, anartha, anartha hetu and purushartha, that is being mentioned in the 7th shloka. You can in a way say it's kind of an important shloka. If we remember, like, even few parts of it, that is enough. Few parts of it, like, that is enough. Because that will remove all doubts with respect to Vedanta. Vedanta itself, we can say in a way, becomes very clear. So, ekatmya apratipattihi ya swatma anubhava samshraya sa avidhya samsruteyar bijam tannasho muktiratmanah. So, avidhya is being kind of introduced here. So, avidhya is the anartha hetu. Then what is anartha? Samsruti is anartha. So avidhya samsruteyar bijam. So avidhya is what? Samsruteyar bijam. It is the samsrutehe bijam. The bija of samsruti. What is samsruti? Samsruti means samsaranam, like going transmigration. Going from like one birth to another. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Iha samsare bahudustare. So this samsara sagaram is samsruti. That samsruti is bija. The cause of that samsruti is avidya. So this avidya is something which has been, as mentioned earlier, criticized quite a lot. So what is this avidya? So in a way, like, some people say it is kind of lack of something. Some people say it is kind of a positive entity. Some people say it is neither positive nor negative. Some people say it is not at all there. Some people say it is illogical. So there are so many views. So what is, like, right? So in order to understand that, like, we have to take the two aspects of whether it exists or it doesn't exist. So avidya in a way cannot exist as such. So it cannot exist for the simple reason that ignorance is always about something. So ignorance of something. So ignorance cannot be ignorance as such. So ignorance of something means ignorance of A. So let's say I am ignorant of music. The moment I say I am ignorant of music, music comes into picture, which means I know music. I know music in order to say that I am ignorant of music. So jnana abhava, if we say avidya is jnana abhava, then what happens? We know jnana. If we know jnana, we already have jnana. Then how can there be any jnana abhava? There cannot be. So then, like, is it just bhava? If it is bhava, if it is really existing, then it will always exist. How can it vanish? It can never be removed. So that means both ways it cannot be. So therefore, acharyas say that it is neither bhavam or abhava. It's not bhava, it is not abhava. It is not existing, it's not existing. It is not existence, it is not non-existence. It is something which is a third type. So if it is a third type, why doesn't Shankara hint about the third type? There is no reason to say that, because what is essential about avidya is that swatma anubhava samshraya. It is anubhavam. That is, which is anubhava, doesn't require proof. So we don't need proof for that which is experience. So we see water in desert, nobody has to come to us and say, oh, I see water in desert. Nobody has to give us proof, because we see it directly. And when we see something, what do? We don't try to find out, like, where from it came. Yeah, water in desert, we will try to find out where it came from. But if it is a case of that which causes sorrow, we will not ask as to where it came from. So when we are very sick, first we will try to get rid of the sickness. Once we get rid of the sickness, then we will ask the doctor, okay, what was the problem, doctor? Because until then we are in pain. When we are in pain, like, we cannot, like, get the explanation of why this disease, like, we experience this disease. Why this disease leads to sorrow? How can it be caused? will be, a logician will argue when the logician himself is not under pain. If he is under pain, if it is, he is in pain, then he will not analyze all this. So the similar is the case with avidya. It is some matter of direct experience. So it is a matter of direct experience, and if it is a matter of experience, then we have to try to solve it, not find out where from it came. Where from it came? Who has avidya? The person who is an ignorant, he has avidya. It's as simple as that. Can there be any other explanation? No. And why there can't be any other explanation? There can't be any other explanation because it doesn't really exist. It doesn't really exist. So Sureshwaracharya doesn't say here that avidya doesn't exist. But he says, Tannasho muktiratmanaha. If avidya is destroyed, then that is mukti. Atmanaha mukti. Atmas mukti. It is mukti for the Atman. So this mukti for the Atman, if it has to be eternal, so mukti is something like which has to be ever there, then nasha has to be not real nasha, but it has to be what? Of an entity which doesn't exist. So let's assume that avidya exists and its destruction is moksha. So if it is destroyed, that which is destroyed can be created. That which is destroyed can be created. That which is created again can be destroyed. So that means mukti will come and go. So that should not be the case. Then what should happen? Means that avidya doesn't exist. That avidya which doesn't exist, its destruction. What is its destruction? Its destruction is knowing that it doesn't exist. When we know it doesn't exist, then that is moksha. And that mukti is always there. So this is not something that is newly attained by the Atman. So yat gatvana nivartante, where one reaches, there is no return back. So there in the commentary, Shankara says that here like gatva and all is just a perspective view. Ideally speaking, what? Ideally speaking, there is no going or coming. But from our ignorant perspective, it is like going into some place. That is why it is meant there. In the same way, mukti. Is there any liberation really? No. What is liberation? Nasha of avidya. What is nasha of avidya? Nasha of an entity which doesn't exist. And how do we know that this doesn't exist? So we know it doesn't exist because it is due to ignorance of the truth that Atma is one alone. Ekatmya apratipattihi. Aikatmya apratipattihi. One Atma alone exists. That's apratipatti, means not knowing, not realizing this. Avidya comes into picture. Avidya is only there when Atman is forgotten. And when Atma is forgotten, then Svatma Anubhava Samshraya. So the order is like also important. So if we remember that there is only one Atman, there is no like Atma Anubhavam of Avidya. Avidya doesn't affect the Atma. Avidya is not there for the Atma, and the Atma doesn't have to be get liberated. So it is after not knowing that one Atman alone exists, when a person doesn't know this truth that one Brahman alone exists, then avidya becomes a matter of experience. And that avidya is the cause. Oh, that avidya, it doesn't matter much. It is Atma Anubhavam, that is okay. Like we experience a lot of things. So sometimes like we are walking on the road and we get a 100 rupee note. What is the fault in like getting that 100 or taking that 100 rupee note? There is no harm done. So if we ask, no, there is harm done. What is the harm? Samsrutaya bhijam. Because it is the cause of samsruti. Samsruti will cause us dukkham. So it is the cause of dukkha. It will lead to dukkha. So therefore, it has to be destroyed. And it is destroyed through the knowledge that one Brahman alone exists. And Sureshwaracharya is very beautifully says, uses the word of Atman here. So muktir atmanaha, atmanaha mukti. And svatma anubhava samshraya. Atmanaha anubhavaha. Anubhava samshraya. So atmas anubhavam, what is? So atmas. So that means the same. This is the concept that is explained in Ishta Siddhi. So many people claim that Ishta Siddhi is Vimuktatman's own opinion, but that's not the case. Brahma eva avidheya ched muchyate. I forgot the exact shloka. So one Brahman alone is in bondage and is liberated. It's the same Brahman. There is no two entities here. There is no two entities, like one entity, one jiva gets bonded and then like Brahman gets liberated. So jiva gets bonded, jiva gets liberated. What is jiva? Jiva has to be one with Brahman because one Brahman alone exists. If it is not one Brahman, then like what is this jiva? Is it different from Brahman? If it is different from Brahman, it's not real. If it is not real, then why struggle for that which is not real? Liberation of that which is not real. liberation of that which is real, even though liberation itself is not real, but liberation of that which is real is valid because it is real. But liberation of that which is not real is foolishness. It's not at all required. So that means the Shastra, like Sureshwaracharya, is beautifully saying here that one Brahman alone exists here. And that Brahman, when it is not known, so that is anartha. So the anartha is caused by not knowing Brahman, and anartha is what? Samsruti is anartha. And the anartha hetu, what is anartha hetu? What is the cause of the anartha? Avidya. And then what is purushartha? Purushartha is moksha. So moksha is purushartha. Moksha is the purushartha. So generally we say there are three purusharthas, four purusharthas: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So all these, like even dharma is not valid. Dharma is not valid. Ultimate is moksha. Moksha eva parama purushartha. So in many works, Tattva Bodha, Lagu Vasudeva Mananam, so many such works we can find Acharya saying clearly that the ultimate purusharta is moksha alone. Nothing else but moksha. So moksha is the parama purusharta. Nothing else is like parama purusharta. Moksha is the ultimate purusharta that is to be sought out. So what about dharma? We have like Harishchandra who followed Satya Dharma. We have Yudhishthira. If only Yudhishthira, like Krishna, would had stood by moksha, he would have immediately avoided the entire Yuddha. Mahabharata Yuddha happened partly due to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira got into the notion like of playing, like that this is my dharma to play with them. Even after losing once, the dice playing, again he played. So his dharma, what is the use of such dharma? Dharma cannot lead us anywhere. So that is why Amma says, dharma is twofold. Dharma is para dharma and apara dharma. So para means supreme dharma, that is moksha alone. Apara dharma, like vyavahara, we have lost. So like each country has its loss. Each place has its loss. Each house has its own loss. So each of those has dharma. It upholds, like it upholds life. So by the ultimate upholding of life is only Brahman. Brahman or pure consciousness. So that Brahman is what is to be sought out. That Brahman, seeking Brahman is moksha. So that is to be sought out. Dharma cannot lead us to ananda. Artha cannot lead. Kama cannot lead, because these three are based on duality. We can just say because they are like, they depend on duality, therefore they won't lead to eternal bliss. That which is dependent, or that which depends only on non-duality, that alone will be led to eternal bliss. Eternal bliss is only possible for that which is which depends on non-duality, and that is moksha, and moksha alone. So moksha is the parama purushartha that is to be sought out by a sadhaka. So that is what beautifully Sureshwaracharya brings out in this shloka. So anartha is samsara or dukkha, and anartha hetu is avidya. Avidya is the anartha hetu, and so avidya is the anartha hetu, and finally what is purushartha? Purushartha is moksha. And as to what is the purushartha hetu, what is the cause of that purushartha of moksha? Obviously moksha is what? Moksha is nasha. Like when avidya is destroyed, moksha happens. But how is avidya destroyed? So that is what will be explained in the next shloka. So we will see the next shloka in the next week. So until then, may Amma bless us so that we will be able to remember this beautiful definition of avidya here. That it is forgetting aikatmya apratipatthihi ya swatma anubhava samshraya sa avidya ek aikatmya. So like one atman is alone is there. That aikam or ekam, like I don't know, I'm not sure, like I think it is ekatmya, sorry. Yeah, it's not clear. Ekatmya apratipatthihi. So not knowing this, that which is like swatma anubhava samshraya, that is which is experienced by oneself, that is avidya, which is the samsrutehe bijam, which is the cause of samsara. And tannasho, and destruction of this avidya, is called as moksha or mukti. Samyamma bless us so that we'll be able to attain this mukti, we'll be able to destroy avidya here and now itself. We'll continue next week. Namaskar.